Desire and interest in your prayers this morning and your attention just a little while. I'd like to write the title of the message on the board. I've written on the board, "Give the Lord Reason to Stand." Thankful this morning that we serve an on-time God. You think the Lord's ever late with what He wants to accomplish? Thankful He's on time. He's a caring God. The Scripture tells us that that He is one that is moved on His throne with compassion on our behalf. Thankful that we have a Jesus, a shepherd, that cares about us individually as people. And He gave His life for us that we could be saved when we had no way to save ourselves. What an undeserved gift that this is, that we'll never be able to pay for. What love has been shown to us that we might be able to have a place at the table of the Almighty. When you think about the table of God, it's a big table, but there's a spot for you at the table. You won't get squeezed out. It won't get so crowded that your place goes away. This place is reserved for you all throughout your life so that you can come and eat and benefit from the table of the Creator Himself. That's wonderful. It's almost more than I can take in. But we have a part to play too. We have a part in this plan. I'd like to encourage us today that we do our part to give the Lord, to give Jesus, reason to stand on behalf of us personally. Now, I know we can't earn our salvation. That is settled. And we preach about that. We teach that often, that we can't earn it. So I want to just preface the message this morning by saying, our good works are not going to get us into heaven by themselves. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that any of us have a place at the table of God. And we spend a lot of time here in this congregation, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesdays sometimes, talking about and reinforcing the goodness of God and how that we're not serving a Lord that has a big flaming sword raised, waiting for the first opportunity to cut us off and to remove us from His table. We're not serving a God who has a book that says three strikes and you're out and that's it. That's not a God that we're serving. We are serving a Father who gave His Son that we might be saved. We are serving one that paid such a price that He wants to get a return on that investment, but it's not an investment with temporal things, inanimate objects, things that are going to pass away, but it is a love for our souls that He paid for. And He wants to fill His table with whosoever will. All that'll come, He paid the price, and with love and with tears and with care, the Lord comes and calls us. And when we start to sink, He extends His hand of mercy to pick us up and to comfort us. That is who we serve. We By the Lord's help, we spend a lot of time endeavoring to reinforce that truth and that element that is a central part of the hope of the gospel. But we have a part to play too. We have a responsibility in having a place at the table of the Lord. And I want to live my life. I want to make decisions so that the Lord looks down upon my life and has a smile of approval with the decisions that I make each day in my life. I want Him to be happy with it. I want Him to be able to look at my heart, and I want Him to be able to look at how I use my time and how I use my resources. And I want Him to see to the extent that I give Him space. I want Him to look down and see that my heart, that these things, there's others we could add to the list, but that He's pleased with this. That's my part in this. That if I want to be here, that I'm going to have to make some decisions, that when I don't feel like it, when it's not convenient, and when there is so much pull to go in another direction, that I live my life so that I've given the Lord reason to stand for me. And if I could say it that way without it coming across that somehow I can earn the right for Jesus to stand on my behalf. I can't. But the Scripture does say that if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. That He'll move on behalf of us if we move on His behalf. If I give Him time and resources, my resources and space in my life, and I plant myself where He is and give Him truly my heart above all things. Yes, I live in this world. Yes, I do things, and I personally spend a lot of time on things that they're just going to pass away in the end, it isn't going to mean anything. However, I want to live so that when the Lord looks down and He sees my heart and He sees what's most important, which will come out in how I spend my time and how I use my resources to the extent that I give Him space, that becomes an indicator of my heart. And when He sees that, I want Him to smile with approval upon me. Does that, can I say it that way? Is that okay? I'd like to read an account where the Lord stood on behalf of one of His faithful servants in the 7th chapter of Acts. Have a strong burden this morning with this message. This story is about Stephen. You remember who Stephen was. He was a man of God. And we find in the 7th chapter of Acts, and we won't read it all for the sake of time, but we find that Stephen was standing before the council of the high priests, and they were giving him trouble. And he had been given his time and his resources and space in his life and his heart to something that was contrary to what their agenda was. And they had him in a very difficult place, and Stephen began to preach a stirring message to the high priests on this day, and he preached about, went all the way back, and he began to tell them about Abraham and Isaac, and he preached to them about Jacob, and and Joseph and preached to him about Moses and spoke to him about Solomon. And then he quoted out of the book of Isaiah where Isaiah said, What house will ye build me? What a question. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? How can we build a house for the Lord? Stephen said in this place, it said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. How are you going to build a house for somebody that is like that? if you'll allow me. If the heavens that we look up and we see that the heavens is God's throne. That's His throne. And God is sitting on His throne and the earth is His footstool. That's earth. And that's God. And that's His throne. And that's, we are a speck on the earth. And that's His footstool. Now, I don't know if you think like I do, but if you were to ratio this out with footstools that we have, with how tall we are, and you make earth the footstool of God, that puts Him somewhere around 800 million feet tall. Give or take. This was an illustration. God's not 800 million feet tall. He's something that goes outside of dimensions that we understand. But how are you going to build a house for that? And Stephen took opportunity to quote this scripture. Quite a question posed. And yet, when I think about the question of what house you'll build me, and then I think about where the scripture says that know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Lord God dwells in you. I think, Lord, How can I be a temple that you are would be willing to dwell in? Lord, you yourself said, what house will you build me? And yet, this morning, we each one individually have a responsibility to present the Lord with a temple that He is pleased to dwell in. That is our responsibility. Yes, He will help us. But He doesn't, we can't just come in and out without heart and have a place at His table where His blessings will flow and where He'll be pleased to dwell in our hearts when our hearts are far from Him. And our hearts are far from Him when He looks and He sees that our time isn't devoted to Him. Our resources aren't devoted to Him. We don't really give Him that much space. We say with our lips, but our treasure that we're laying up is really not about the kingdom of heaven. It's about so many other things in this life. What house will you build me? What house are you presenting to the Lord today for Him to dwell in? What house are you offering to the Lord today? Is He pleased to dwell in it? I know we can't earn the right, but we have to make space. We have to make space for the Lord. He isn't going to crowd Himself in. we are going to have to willingly make space, give of ourselves, give of what we have, which came from Him in the first place. Isn't it our reasonable service? Isn't it our reasonable service to dedicate our lives to the Lord more than anything else? We have a choice daily before us about what we're going to do with our time and our resources, the space we give Him, which is related to time, and our heart, where our treasure is. We have a decision to make. And I want to answer the Lord. I want to come before the Lord this way. I want to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then I want to build my life according to the Word of the Lord. But I have to know what the Word of the Lord says. I have to become one with the Word of the Lord. I have to be filled with His Spirit. I have to give the Lord time and space, and I have to truly give Him my heart more than just what I say with my lips. But we have a choice. How important really is it in life? And I want to say, Lord, help me know what you want me to do and turn to the Word of the Lord, as opposed to building my house however I want to build my own house. Because I feel like that this happens far too often. We build our house, or said another way, we live our lives. We take the limited amount of time that we have, the resources that we have. We give our heart to the things that we want to give our heart to and establish our house upon that foundation. And then we say, Lord, please come live in my house. You follow me so far? As opposed to saying, Lord, how would you have me build my house? That you would be pleased to come and have your Spirit live within me. There's a difference. And we can get so caught up with all of the things of this life. And I know we live in the world. I do too. I'm not saying that that's sin. But we are taught not to be of the world. We are in the world, but that's not what we're about. I want to give myself to building my life in a way that the Lord is pleased with. And Stephen was preaching some of these sorts of things, and he quoted that scripture, "Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord?" Then he went on with a message of judgment. And the Lord saw fit to have it put in the Word of the Lord for me, for you. And the 51st verse says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." You people, he was saying, he said, you're unbending. You're always resisting. When the Spirit of the Lord comes and He begins to speak to your heart, perhaps in that still small voice, and he said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And the Lord in His mercy gives His life on the cross, and He resurrects, and He offers you a resurrection of life, and He begins to draw. You're always resisting. You're always having reasons to continue to live like you want to live. You're always having reasons to to keep spending your time like you've always spent your time, and to give of yourself like you've always spent it. And you have the space that you carve out in your life for all these different things that are going to pass away. I come and I deal with your heart, and sometimes the word is preached, or I whispered in your ear in the midst of the day, or when you do offer, you pray to me and I speak to you, but then you're always resisting to go do what you just want to do. This is the word of the Lord. This is not me saying this. Stephen told them, you're unbending, you're resisting, and as your fathers did, you're doing the same thing. And it's a problem. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels, those that brought the truth. You heard it. You received it. But you said you didn't keep it and have not kept it. Stephen was being faithful to their souls regardless of the cost. And he said, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God, Jesus, thank the Lord, standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And when the high priest, the people heard this, they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. When he said this, he passed away. We find Stephen doing the will of God in the midst of a very, very difficult place. And yet, without doubt and with expectation, he looked up into the heavens. And what happened? The scripture says here that he saw the glory of God. And what it was Jesus doing? Standing. Why did Jesus stand? That's a vision that he had. Have you ever seen people sitting, watching something or someone, and they're sitting and watching what's going on, and then all of a sudden they stand? Have you ever seen that happen? Maybe a race is taking place or something, and people are sitting watching this race unfold, and they see somebody showing a heart and determination, giving it all they have, maybe coming from behind, and they can sense there's heart taking place there, and there's this additional sense of urgency and will to push ahead, and people stand. Did you know that the Lord wants to see us? He wants to look down, and He wants to see us come on strong for Him. He wants to look down upon a people that are giving themselves to Him. And I'm not preaching this morning of where the Lord is trying to emotionally tire us out and wear us out and exhaust us with always feeling like we're not quite there. That is not the message. We've preached to the contrary of that. The Lord, there is rest for the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest. But you know where the rest comes from? You know where the real peace comes from? It's when we can be settled in our hearts and in our lives that we're going to give Him our lives. That's where the rest comes from. Our rest comes from knowing that for once and for all, I've turned away from my way, and I've said, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, I want to please You. I want to serve You. I want to sit at Your table. I want to give You that You have given to me. I want to give it back. It's where our rest comes from. And when we do that, the Lord looks down upon us with pleasure. Are we present this morning before the Lord? Or are we absent? Present or absent? I can't answer that for you. Have no idea. But it's a question that I want to ask of myself, and I'll ask of you for you to give it consideration. Are you present? Do you live where when the Lord looks down and He's looking for a people that are present in giving of their time, they are present in creating space where He can come and speak and talk and be in your life. When He has a place for us at His table, and whatever responsibilities that He gives us is part of the kingdom of heaven, because we all have a place. And with that place comes responsibility. When He looks down the table and He comes to your place, are we there? Are we present? Or are we absent? The Lord wants us to be present. He wants us to make the things of God a priority in our lives. He wants us to live so that our ears are open to when He knocks on our heart's door, that we hear it and we open the door, whatever time of the week it is, that we're there. The Lord comes by and He knocks. So I wonder if they're home. Rings the doorbell. And He waits on our doorstep. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He doesn't barge in. He knocks. I wonder if they're home today. I wonder if they're paying attention. I wonder if their ear is listening for the sound of my voice, or if they're consumed with all these other things. Well, I'll find out. Let me knock. Do we open the door? Are we present? As we have opportunity to meet with the people of God and be in church service, are we present when we can? When the windows of opportunity pass us by to reach out and sow seed to somebody that's in need, are we present? Or are we absent? It's not to be afraid of, because the Lord said He would go with us. But when the Lord comes back, that final time, at a time unexpected, at midnight, when we're all slumbering and sleeping, in other words, we're all living life, He's going to take back with Him to heaven those that are present. Stephen was present when it wasn't convenient. He was being stoned. And the Lord looked down and He saw a man that was going through fire. And there he was, present, accounted for, being willing to give his life for Jesus Christ. And it said the Lord stood. Oh, he looked down and he saw one that was in trouble. And I don't know. This is just me. You can do it the way you want to do it. But I think about what that might have been like. And the Lord stands and he's like, Stephen, don't give up. You're almost there. You almost have made it home for eternity. You don't give up in the fight. I know this is not pleasant. I know that this hurts. I know that there's other places that you could be. I know you could probably get out of this by turning your heart in a different direction. But don't do it, Stephen. You can do this, and I'm here, and I'm not going to leave you. And the Lord stands up going, is he going to stay true? Is he going to stay firm? Can I count on him? Oh, I think I can. I'll give him whatever he needs to get through this. I'll send my spirit. I'll help him so that he doesn't have to go through more than what he's able to go through. Stephen, your place though, your responsibility is stay put. Don't move. Come, be accounted for, be present, give me your heart, Stephen, you can do this. And he does that for us. He stands and he looks at our lives. And oh, he wants us to be true. He has all that we need. We read the verse in Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, perhaps those that have been faithful and those that have made it on with victory, and perhaps they're cheering us on, saying, Rod, you can do this. Don't, you might be discouraged, but don't give up. Push forward. Get up. Yes, it feels hot, but I'll protect you. Yes, there's another way to go, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run. Let's run with purpose the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame, and he endured the cross. And why did he do that? Because he saw the joy on the other side of the cross. He saw an opportunity to stand for us, for me, and for you. And they're looking down upon us this morning, and they're saying, in the midst of a world that is turning away from Jesus Christ and morality and being so caught up with the things that draw on our flesh that we would rather go to and that we are pulled to, and we'd like to live this way and we'd like to go here, and yet the Lord is saying, where are they there? Are they willing to choose me? Do they make me a priority? And the Lord is looking down at perhaps that great cloud of witnesses, and they're saying, come on now, run. You can do this in the heat of the battle today. Are we, with our lives, are we giving the Lord reason to stand for us like he did Stephen? Or are we drawing back? Are we just, well, I don't want to think about it right now. Well, there's things I don't understand. There's a lot of things we don't understand. That does not give us reason not to run. Doesn't give us reason not to trust when we can't see the end. I want to give myself to the Lord. I know that life's challenges are real. I am human just like everybody else, and I live the challenges of life like you do too. We face the unexpected, and we face challenges we never thought we were going to face, and we live lives that we never envisioned that we would live, and we encounter things that if it had been up to us in our flesh, we would draw back from. Sometimes we as people, we can be hurt at others, and we can be disappointed, and can be tired and exhausted, and we can feel let down, and we can feel like we have more questions than we have answers. You ever been there? Like you have more questions than you have answers. I know that's true, and it's life. And Jesus said it would be that way. You will have tribulation in life. But He is looking for a people this morning that are willing to give Him their hearts and their lives regardless. And when we do, when we make the Lord a priority, and where there's other places we could go, and when there's other things to fill up the limited amount of space that we have in our lives, and our time, and our resources, and this is not a message of bondage, folks. It's just a message of being honest with ourselves of what really is our priority in life. And are we present? Are we present? The Lord's looking for a people that have more than religion. He is looking for a people that are doing more than following a certain set of rules that allow you to be accepted by other people. He is looking for a people that look up steadfastly to God in the midst of living life every day without turning back. Or if you stumble and you fall, that you turn back around and you get back up. I have a lot of scars on my knees and face and nose from falling. But by the grace of God, when that happens, the Lord is looking for a people that are willing to get up when they fall and not give in to failure, not give in to a fallen state if you fall. He made provision for that. But we have a responsibility. If we want to be found in peace before the Lord, we're going to have to be a people that have made Him a priority over everything else in life. And if we do that, the Lord will stand up for us. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. For who? It's for those that are doing everything they know to do to follow Him. And yes, He's merciful when we don't. And the enemy comes in to give us opportunity. But there comes a time, there comes a point where the Lord isn't going to force us. He allowed those disciples to walk away from Him. So, well, it's a hard saying. Yeah, I want to live for You. I believe in You and everything. But you know, there's some things that I want to do in my life. I only have so much space and so much time. I'd rather be somewhere else and do other things and give my heart to other things. And those other things, if you're not careful, will dampen the fire, water down the fire that God wants to have kindled in your hearts, so that when you do come and you realize I need to be where God is, and you come running in and yet there's something missing. It's because sometimes we come and we try to sit down at the table of the Lord, but we're just there in body, we're not there in spirit, and we're not there in heart. Because in the course of our lives, we haven't given our heart. We're trying to figure out how to do both. You can't serve God and mammon. You have to choose one or the other. Is that a hard saying? Yes, it is. That's a hard saying because we're human. Not going to sugarcoat it. It is hard. Was stoning easy? No, stoning wasn't easy. There was some pain that was associated with this. But we can do this if we will. The children of Israel weren't always present. They didn't understand where Moses went. They didn't understand why he was gone. They didn't understand where God was, and so they created their own idol and began to serve that, and the wrath of God was kindled. I don't want to be in that place. We don't have to be. Daniel and the three Hebrew children and Stephen and Job, will a man serve God for naught? If you don't feel like you're being blessed of God, will you still serve God? Job did, the scripture says. The disciples did after he left. People that sat in these very pews here today were faithful, made it to the other side. It's our turn. What are we going to do? Delay, defer, be distracted, do other things? Yes, it's a challenge. We find ourselves in close places sometimes, oftentimes. Let's be faithful. In closing this morning, in Matthew 24 and 13, it said, "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Endureth to the end. And know that along the way, the Lord has blessings and places where we can be refreshed, and He renews our purpose, and He lifts us up, and He gives us joy at different times of life. The Lord is so good to do that for us. Let's be faithful to Him. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. If we'll do this, let's be all in this morning. Are you all in? Are you all in for the Lord? If you find this morning, if perhaps God has dealt with your heart, and you recognize that maybe I'm not where I need to be, it's time for a course correction. Be encouraged. It's time for a course correction. That's why the Lord sends these messages. Because we can be all in. Be willing to change course. Be willing to examine your time, space you give Him, where your heart is. If you are all in this morning, stay the course. Keep the courage. It's not in vain. The Lord is so, so faithful to us. I want to be faithful to Him. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.